Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to get together with all my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for your grace upon this fellowship tonight, that the things that we talk about would be the things that would glorify you, Father. That's what we want to do. We want to glorify you in every way that we can. We want to encourage people to, in your word, Lord. We want to encourage them. And, not only that, Lord, we want the things that you want in this group, out of this group. And I praise you, Father, for leading us, guiding us, and showing us the things that you'd have us to talk about. And Lord, I thank you for what you've already given us for tonight. And I know that we'll have a great opportunity to spend in revelations of your word tonight, of grace. And I thank you for it, Father. Lord, we just ask that the heavens still be open for us as we pray for whatever needs to be prayed for, and that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our prayers are answered every time we open our mouth to you, Lord. In his name, we stand in your name. It's not that we have to say that little phrase there, in the name of Jesus. It's that we stand in the name of Jesus. We are standing for Jesus in holiness and a sinless life, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you for giving out to all of us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight, because I know it's going to be a great night with all my brothers and sisters and the things that we talk about. Lord, place it in people's heart to speak up when they want to say something. It's okay. We'll listen. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask and we pray that we all stay on topic and to be led by your spirit and not by our flesh. And we praise you and glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing in those that have been away from us and bringing them back, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Anybody got a prayer request? Nine people. 10 people. Okay. Hey, Megan. All right. Anybody got a testimony? Has this been a slow week for everybody? Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I guess I'll start off with this. The other day I was, might have been maybe 5:30 or so. And, it was, you know, getting dark, not too dark yet, but there were 4 deer out in our backyard and in the clearing around the electrical tower, and they were having fun. It was like, I saw this one take off and it was making these leaps and bounds over the tall grass and coming back, and they were running around playing, just, you know, kicking up their heels and just playing. And it was so awesome. And I started singing Naz the Deer, you know, and then today I was battling with not feeling too good. and not too long before we got started here, I was like, I was casting it down, but not doing a whole lot of battle about it, just, you know, not receiving it. And I just started singing. Sorry. And I started singing As the Deer. And, you know, and then I started singing other songs and everything. And it just went. I was like, praise you, Lord. Now I feel good. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord be to God.
So I'd like to sing that if I could.
Go for it.
Okay. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And I long to worship thee. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. That was good. I enjoyed that. All right. Anybody else? How'd you do that, Benita? You blow them hearts right out your mouth. Oh, that's so cool. How do you do that, man? Oh, boy.
That was so cool.
Yeah, it was.
How'd you do that? Show us how you did that.
I just did made that heart and it just did it.
Y'all
if
ain't
you
got
just
the
do
touch.
A thumbs up, it puts a thumbs up on there.
No, not
you
that
must
way,
have
Ben. Oh. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. No, that didn't do it. You ain't right, girl. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for all these little tricks we got. Yeah, it was cool. It was really good. I've never seen that one before. Let's see. In the name of Jesus. Must be the Lord, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna quit that. All right, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful spirit gift you've given us. Each a different one. Okay. During these end time days that we're already in, by the way, all of those things that the Old Testament prophets were talking about in that day, we're talking about the days that we're in. And I was telling Missy and Julie about God's grace and how it's going to multiply considerably in the days ahead. And we got confirmation of it also. But I just wanted to ask anybody here what that entails. What does God's grace entail? What is that? What is God's grace? Why are we talking about God's grace? Anybody want to? What is God's grace, by the way? I'll just ask that. Nobody knows? Marilyn.
It's God's unmerited favor towards us.
Amen. God's unmerited. Now, what does that mean to me? I'm old boy from Arkansas. It
means get out of dictionary.
Okay.
Unmerited means we haven't earned it. We have not earned his favor. That's unmerited. It means we haven't earned it. It's a free gift from him.
He's just going to give it to us, isn't he? Okay, Andrew. Missy, don't you have one of your yellow hands? Because I can't hold it. I got the yellow hands up. There you go.
I think it's God's agape love towards us, because obedience of God is the form of grace that He's giving us is to be obedient, isn't it? Like we love because He first loved us, 1 John 4:19, isn't it? And we didn't choose Him; He chose us. And I often keep saying that because He told Isaiah to say, "And in His name shall the Gentiles trust," that's why we got John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And so I think it's His obedient love toward us, but you know, to be all we can be in Christ, because that's what He's trying to make us. We're His workmanship, created. Nothing can stop God's creation except you, and you don't want that. So we want to be more and more like Christ. And you know, sometimes we patiently wait for things, but I don't know what it is, you know, like sometimes it's just, how's He going to do this? You don't have to know that, I think. I think He can do it because He knows how. That's all I'm saying about that. So, praise and glory.
Well, that's good. That's good. What comes to my mind is he wants to, and I'll just shortly say this, Missy, and let you go ahead and talk, is he wants us to do the things that he wants us to do, and he wants us to do them at a time and I'm saying it wrong, but I'm trying to get out a point here. He wants us to work in Him, out of Him, the things that He wants us to work to get this revival started, to get everything started. And He's going to pour out His grace in order to get people to do it. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, to go along with the unmerited favor, it's not our works. There's nothing that we can do. No amount of works that we, you know, it's nothing we can earn. Like Barry said, not our works.
Okay. Well, that's a simple answer. And that's a good answer. It's not our works, but what does that mean to me? What does unmerited favor, unmerited, not our works mean to me? I'm going to let Julie answer. I'll give you another chance if you want, Missy.
I don't know that I'll answer it how you're thinking, but, you know, I don't know exactly what you're thinking. But I was just thinking when we were just thinking about what his grace is, and it's, you know, that he would choose us from, you know, has always known us and chose us in Christ before, you know, when he created everything, he thought of us and he created us for him and found out our whole lives and, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, the hope of glory, his glory, you know, bringing us into his image. And the scripture that was coming to my mind is, you know, thank God for his, you know, inexpressible gift, you know, it's inexpressible. You can't express how, what a awesome gift of eternal life. And all that means, you know, all that means, eternal life. It's just not that I'll be in heaven forever. It's just like, I'm going to manifest the glory of the Lord, you know, and come into his image and look like him and shine like him and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just like, how do you put that into words? Is, you know, it's a work of just God doing it in me, you know. I can't change myself. I can't fix myself as hard as I want to try. I recognize things and it's like, oh, I hate that feeling. I hate that thought. I hate that's still even in my mind or even comes to mind, or I would even think that way, or those thoughts would even come into my head, whether it's the enemy or my old nature, you know, whatever. And it's like, but I can't fix me. It's just, I, you know, Lord, you took that away. I don't have that. Anyhow, that's kind of how I see it. I don't know if that's what you're thinking.
Amen. Yeah, that's right along the same thing. Go ahead, Joe.
I would say unmerited favor is it's something you cannot earn, but what God tells us in the same sentence is, I give you my son. Believe in him. I give you everything I have in my son. Believe him and trust him and follow him. That's my unmerited favor, man. Well, you cannot work, but just believe what I have given you and then work on that.
Amen. That's good.
That's all I have.
Yep, that's good. All right, Lana.
When I think of unmerited favor as it applies to my daily life, the first picture that comes to mind is of a young child that barely knows how to do anything in life. But as soon as I fall down and fail, I can get back up and turn to my father and know that I'm forgiven. And that I need to just keep moving forward. And he's the one that's teaching me how to walk. He's the one that's giving me the correction of where I've gone wrong. He's also the one that supplies me with what I need to overcome. And he's the one that also is teaching me maturity and giving me the ability to grow in my walk in the Lord. Because there's absolutely nothing I can do of myself. And what I can do can bring a lot of destruction into my life. If I wallow in condemnation and self-pity and guilt and shame and don't use the strength that he provides to cast all of that aside in order to take advantage of the favor that he continues to extend into my life so that I can come into the likeness of his son. That's all.
Okay. Yep. There ain't nothing we can do. Go ahead, Benita.
Oh, that song came into my mind, Grace, Grace, God's Grace. And the part where he says, grace that is bigger, what is it, greater than all my sin. And I just thinking, you know, we've got Christ in us and he's holy and perfect. And then there's our old man and, you know, keeps doing the things that we don't want to do. And it's not us that wants to do them. It's the old man that wants to do them. And the grace just forgives us of those things because we are abiding in Christ.
Amen. That grace that he gives us gives us the victory, right? Okay, Ben or Andrew? I think it must be Ben.
In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16, because of his fullness, we all receive, and grace upon grace. So this grace is a progressive thing that happens upon us. It's his unmerited favor, yes. But it's also the grace to be all you can be in Christ. The Lord's going to give you his seed so that you can grow in him. And he's going to give you more by his grace, by his mercy, to be more like his son. Because he wants you to be a certain way at a certain point, progressively growing in him. That's his grace. All you can be in Christ.
Okay. All right. So what I'm gathering from what y'all are saying is that grace is God's favor upon us to help us get to the place that he wants us at. And the place that he wants us at is looking like Jesus, right? So he's going to do everything necessary to those that are striving. Some striving better than others, but he's going to get everybody through his grace that are his elect over in that overcoming power of Jesus, right? And I believe that he's doing it in a fast way right now. I think his grace is being poured out upon God's people. I'm seeing people that hadn't been, that are just coming into the kingdom not very long ago, that are pretty much up to speed with just about everybody else. I'm seeing that here, and I'm seeing it on the outreach. And it's just amazing what God's doing in people. And it's through his grace and his grace only. It's not because I'm smart or you're smart or they're smart or whatever. It's because of God's grace. Every bit of it. We give you the glory, Lord, glory to God. And what's going to result from God's grace is this great revival coming up. Yes, we do, Monroe. This revival, he wants to get this thing started. He's fixing to have some shakings going on. Somebody sent me a prophetic word today from a young man that the Lord had told him that worldwide 350 million people are fixing to be killed and 30 million here in the United States by pestilence, by earthquakes and what have you, all of that stuff. And how many of you know that God's, the people that God's, that are God's elect will turn to him in a mighty way when all this starts? But it's going to be through God's grace that he even kept them alive. But anyway, it's God's grace abounds much more, you know, when there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, just talking about what you just said, something happened today. I don't know if it happened for you guys, but our AT&T service was out. And so Nick was, you know, he's all excited. Oh, no, our service is out. And Frank turned to me and said, wow, everything you talked about is finally happening.
Praise God.
And
praise God.
It's like finally, you know, it's like God did something or something happened, you know, and it opened his eyes. And it was kind of funny. I could finally share some stuff with him about what might be coming because he won't listen usually.
Yeah.
But God opened the door. He opened a little door.
Well, I can tell you this, if you listen to David's broadcast Sunday, everybody listened to it. I believe Sunday, about the earthquakes and stuff. That's fixing to happen, it looks like. And the meteor, they're already foretelling the meteor coming down and doing a splash over there around Puerto Rico. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Father. All of our people are listening now. It's going to be even some more people turning ear to Jesus. Yeah, don't do that again, Vanita. Good gracious, girl. I got to figure that one out. No. I got something on you. No, that's pretty cool. Didn't work, really. Oh, my. All right. So grace is God's unmerited favor. That unmerited favor, he just pours it out on us, doesn't he? He's pouring it out right now. He's pouring it out right now. I tell you, I've seen more, teachings, true teachings on faith here recently, than I have back through the years. If they're getting the message of faith, a lot of them are, but I'm saying something more than usual. They're getting this faith thing. Yeah, that's right, Julie. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. Monroe says, by his grace, we already have the end from the beginning through faith. Amen. We sure do. That's exactly right. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else on grace? Talk about grace. Anything anybody that's on anyone's mind that they want to speak about? Yeah, Julie.
Just a quick question. When it talks about where sin aboundeth, grace aboundeth more, is that our, like, when we mess up and we keep falling into sin or whatever, or is that just like just the sin of this world? You know, sins around us everywhere, as temptations and all that, or is it both? What is your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are it's both. It's whatever is affecting you in the world or in your life. You want to do right. You want to do right, but you keep failing in this certain whatever. And the Lord says, I'm going to fix that. You watch. And his grace will abound and you'll be an overcomer. I had a guy that I was talking to the other day that a sin had been plaguing him, and he finally got the victory. It was awesome. So praise God, you know, it's God's grace that does it. It's nothing that we can do. The people that I've seen that have been delivered from rejection, severe rejection, and they just turn 180 degrees around, that's God's grace. That's God's grace. And people we've seen, well, you could go on and on and on. The people that you've seen that have gotten into some of the vilest things and come to Jesus. Look at Paul. Look at the grace that God gave Paul. Saul, I'll say it that way. He gave him grace. He knocked him off that donkey and talked to him. That's his grace. Yeah, Missy.
Well, it reminds me of, I've heard David say, that when the Lord pours out his spirit, this latter rain, that it's going to give us to be who we could never be and to do what we could never do.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he's given every one of you grace. Everybody here has had grace. You could not have turned to Jesus without his grace, without God's grace. Your nature, my nature, would not have allowed me to come to Jesus unless God had intervened with his grace. That's God's grace, yeah, dear.
Yeah, amen. And just like that, it's like it's his grace that we're all here, that we're all part of this ministry, that we were brought to the truth of the unleavened bread, and we're not still sitting, you know, in an apostate Christian church somewhere or worse, you know, that was his plan for us, and that's all his grace too. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't, you know, his grace and having, you know, seeing us all today, right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's here all here sitting talking about him and his grace. Yeah.
We're a small group, but it's a remnant, isn't it? God's grace. Golly, it's just, it's amazing to me. His mercy and his grace extended upon each one of us. What's going on in the chat here? Yes. Yep, that's right, Barbara. Nothing better than God's wonderful grace. That's the thing that brought us all in. Yeah, Andrew.
So Ben just read something to me from Romans chapter 8, I think.
Yep.
And almost sounded like to me when he was reading it that God's grace gave us his son by his grace. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave us
Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?
Grace.
You don't get that telephone?
Hey?
Yeah, I hear a telephone ringing.
Not mine.
No. What is it?
No, I was just listening to the grace there and how he's giving us all things. You know, unmerited favor. So a word that doesn't even necessarily have the word grace in that phrase, but it is all grace. And of course, it's Paul's last word there in that, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angel nor principality present nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
And that's the grace in action.
It's the fan. They're probably talking about the fan.
Amen.
But I agree with everything that my dad just said.
I hope everyone heard it anyway. I don't know. It's just that when he was saying about Jesus being God's grace for us, you know, he graced it to us that he sent his son on the dawn of grace, even, yeah, the song, the dawn of grace when he was born, too. Yeah, so grace is everything, I guess. You know, grace is him creating us.
That? Yeah, that's the fan, for sure.
Okay. Is that the fan, or is that a tree frog, or is that a phone, or what is
it? Man. Turn it down. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. It's not bothering me. I just thought it was a phone there for at first. Amen. Yeah, that's a good mic. That must be one of those big steel fans. All right. That's good. Anybody else?
I had to pray for it this morning because I pushed the button and it didn't even go. So I prayed and then it turned on. So
praise God. Praise God.
I think there's enough copper wiring in the fan motors or something.
That thing go over.
No, it's not. It's only about 7-8
It's moved a lot of air this time, hasn't it, Andrew? All right. Anybody else on grace? Lord, I'm just going to thank you for all the grace that you can give us, every bit of it. I praise you for it, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that in the days ahead, you're going to just pour it out on everybody, that all your elect, Lord, and I thank you for it. Praise you, Father, that it's going to be so awesome to see that everybody is an overcomer, that's your elect. I thank you, Father, that it's happening even as we speak. I was listening to could be. He says you need to oil your bearings. All right, go ahead, Andrew or Ben.
No, I was just thinking that because of the short time situation, something has to happen. And because it is a short time, you want to be on the right side of the time we live in. I mean, what else do you want to do anyway? So, we want to serve the Lord. Because there's just a little time left, we know that there's a little time left. Someone else knows there's a little time left too. So we have to be ready because of that, And we're going to need that grace. We're going to need all the grace He can give us, all the love and all the fruit and all the blessings and all the operating in the gifts, and, to have the the deliverances, the provisions, and the healings, and to do what we expect to have from a great Almighty God and Father. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. We didn't have to have it. That's exactly right. His grace and His mercy can bring about all of that. We need to be ready. How do you get ready? Go ahead, Mary or Marilyn.
Uh-oh, I had my hand up before you asked your question. I was just...
go ahead.
Just thinking about grace. I love the way, Paul put it that... I will therefore rather glory in my weakness that the power of God may rest upon me. I pray that a lot. We can pray these wonderful scriptures over ourselves and pray them for the body. And I was going to share a word that the Lord gave me a couple of days ago in my prayer time. And and a lot of times it's this way. It's just a short phrase, but it's also usually something that I wouldn't, not something that I use all the time, a phrase. But anyway, the word the Lord gave me was changing of the guard. And really been thinking about this, meditating on it, praying about it. I I think we're going to see things, you know, on a number of fronts, changing of the guard in the natural, but also in the spirit. Also in the spirit, I was one of the things that really I've been praying about and asking the Lord about, and it relates to grace because it has to be done by His grace and the power of the Holy Spirit glorifying that spirit of grace in us, that spirit of Christ in us, is that we truly are. You know, it's a changing of the guard, that the old carnal flesh, you know, things that, you know, everybody's kind of alluded to this, talked about it to a certain degree, things that have held us, things that by faith we have overcome, but we haven't seen it fully manifest yet. And I'm believing that that is a big part of the changing of the guard, is that this old carnal flesh is just, we are no longer bound up in being ruled over in any way by the flesh, by the world, or by Satan and his demons. And boy, I'm really praying about it. I am thanking the Lord for it. I have cried out to the Lord just every day for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is going to glorify God's grace in our life. So that's all.
Amen. Changing of the guard. Yes, I have seen numerous words like that just here recently. Praise God. And I think it's in more ways than one. Even what you've said, I think it's also the changing of the guard of the leadership. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
Now, when you said changing of the guard leadership, you know, I see that as like the apostate leaders going out and man-child coming in. Yep. State going out, Trump coming back.
Yep.
A lot of changes.
The old guard.
You know, like in a lot of areas of the government, probably not just that, but
yeah.
You could say, you know, that the tares, the Lord, the tares being bundled and the new coming in, the harvest, you know, of new souls coming in. And there's a lot of different things you can, you know. That's pretty cool. Thanks for sharing that, Marilyn. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yep, there's going to be a lot of changes here, Shortner. A lot of change. Praise God. Glory to God. Sometimes you just want to shout, don't you? Glory to God. You just want to shout. Yeah. Anybody want to hear a praise song? Okay.
If we don't do it, the rocks are gonna cry out, and I don't want them crying on my behalf. You ready to sing? All right. Help me sing now.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
I will praise you all my day.
You're perfect and all.
That's an awesome song. I like that song. If your toe wasn't tapping, you didn't get saved. I'm telling you, that is a good song. Glory to God. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to? Sure. I got something I'd like to share. Yeah. I saw a clip today with Mars Cirilla, and he was talking about a trip he had made to Haiti back in 1960, I believe he said, 61. He was a young man. And the title of the thing was that 300 witches had vowed to kill him. And he made a trip there, and he had a speaking platform there for him. And I forget how many people he said, but there were a bunch of folks there. And the head of, what is that, Christian Businessmen's Association or something like that, fellowship. And anyway, the head of him was out there, and let me back up a little bit. As they were going to his hotel from the airport, the Lord told him. Now, I don't know if all of y'all know this, but Haiti is a haven for witchcraft and all kinds of nasty things going on over there. And it's just 100 miles off the coast of the United States, you know. Why do we let something like that happen? Anyway, they were going in an entourage toward the somewhere. Anyway, he said, the Lord told him, he said, I want you to go back to your motel. Oh, he told him this. He said, there's going to be 300 witches at the conference call that's going to kill you, that wants to kill you. And so he told the driver of the car, he said, take me to the motel, take me to the hotel. And the driver said, we can't do that, you know. And he told the interpreter, he said, tell the man to take me to the hotel. I've got to go to the hotel. And so they took off away from the caravan and went to the hotel, and he prostrated himself on his hotel room floor. And the Lord spoke to him and told him, you know, if you go there tonight, he said, there's going to be 300 witches there that will want to kill you. And they're going to try to just all of them come out and down and take over. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to use me. He said, I'm going to speak through you. Anything that you speak out of your mouth, I will do. In other words, whatever you speak, I'm going to back you up, and it's going to happen. And so he got to the place, and he said it was just a madhouse wherever it was he was fixing to speak. And he said that the guy that was the head of the Christian Businessmen's Fellowship, whatever they remember that, I can't remember what it's called now. Anyway, that he just almost threw the mic at him and told him to take over, because it was just pandemonium all over the place. And he told them all to quiet down, and they quieted down. And he started talking, and he could hear these witches starting up all over the place. They were starting up, and they were humming something. And he said, all right, quiet down. I told you to quiet down then. And they did that two or three times, and after a while, he knew who it was. It's the Lord showed him who was out there, where they were. It might have been 100. I don't know. It seemed like whatever. Anyway, he told him, he finally stood up and he said, I'm telling you right now, the next one that opens his mouth, they'll carry him out here dead. Not another word was spoken that whole night while he was talking. He got to preach, do the things that he was going to do. A lot of people got saved that night. A lot of people got healed. But he did have a bit of problem out of the witches. The witches knew the authority of God was there. And they didn't open up their mouth. That is where God wants us to be bold in the authority that he has already given us. And that's where his grace comes in. You know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if the enemy tries to stop you doing what God's already told you to do, that you have boldness, and you have you understand that God's going to back up your words 100%. 100%. You declare and decree things and it'll happen. If you're in the Spirit. If you're being led by the Spirit. And if you're doing the things that the Word of God tells you to do, you're led by the Spirit. And you'll see mighty things happen in the days ahead because of your obedience and God's grace. I ain't going to forget that God's grace. It's pretty neat. All right. Anybody got any comments they'd like to talk about? Anything they'd like to talk about? I thought that was pretty neat. I didn't say it quite as well as Mario did, but it was good. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? All right, let's go. Yeah, Vanita.
No, just along with what you were saying, I was reading in 1 John today, and this I can't read it, it's too small, but in 1 John 2:8, I think it is, it says, those who claim to belong to him must live just as Jesus did. And I thought, oh boy, I don't, that's the hard word sometimes, you know, like, he didn't have a pillow to put his head on. I've got 10 of them on my bed. But, you know, and I was thinking about that and I thought, well, what does that mean? And I just, that verse, you know, we'll heal the sick, raise the dead. Cast out demons. I thought that's what Jesus did. That's what, you know, just like you're saying, that's what he took command and he knew, like you, the story, just the account you just said, he knew that God was there and would do what he said, you know, he would follow through on that. And that's what Jesus did. We just have to believe that.
Amen. Just believe he lives inside of you and everything that he wants you to do, he's going to back it up. Thoroughly. I remember the first time that I did it on my own was to get somebody healed. It was up in Illinois. And I walked around the corner and I saw this lady out there raking leaves. And she had something wrong with her leg. She had a brace or something on her leg. I stopped and started talking to her. I said, what's wrong with your leg? She told me. And I said, I believe God wants me to pray for you. She said, okay. And so I prayed for her. God healed her right there. And I knew right then that it was over, because I was, man, that just sent me sky high in faith, you know, that God would do that. He'd do that for anybody that believes his word. And it's bold enough to stop and help somebody. Well, she was really raking them leaves when I left. Yeah, Vanita.
Well, that just reminded me, when I went to visit Grandma the other day, I was sitting on the couch next to her, and the gentleman that was sitting next to me, he's a real lively guy, and he really watches out for Grandma. But he showed me his hand, and he was a baseball player, and his two fingers are stuck down like, you know, like a pitching kind of thing, I guess. I don't know. But they're just stuck down there, and they won't open. He pushed them, showed me like he was pushing him as hard as he could, and he couldn't open his two fingers. So I just grabbed his hand, and I prayed over it. That's the first time I've ever done that, really. But I told him I was going to pray for him. And so if you just all believe with me, John's fingers are just going to be opened up and moving, and he's going to have freedom in his hand. And Lord, you're going to answer prayer there. Thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We loose those fingers right now in the name of Jesus. You are back restored as new in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for Vanita's boldness to do that. We thank you, Father, she's going to hear the good report. Lord of God, it's going to be an awesome testimony too. What's his name, Frank? What'd you say his name was?
John.
John. Okay, Frank, she's German.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, John, you're here, brother. Go out and grab you a baseball. All right, anybody else? How many of you are getting excited about what's fixing to happen? I know there's a lot of lives going to be lost, but there's a lot of lives that are going to be sent to heaven too. He's going to bring people out of the apostate religion because of what he's fixing to do. How many of you have told your family about the destruction that's fixing to come upon this land? Yeah. Yeah, I've tried to. Yeah, Joe.
I wouldn't say it's awesome what's going to happen, but the major thing is all about this is God's timing. God is always on time. He's not the second too late or too early. He's always on time, and he knows what he's doing. That's awesome about what's going to fix to happen. It's God's in control. He knows everything about everything. So that his timing is perfect. So you can't really worry about that. You just have to be in agreement with where he wants you to be. That's all.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Don't miss tomorrow night. Don't miss tomorrow night streaming. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Debbie.
I want to just agree in prayer for something. Excuse me. I just, first of all, say, I just sense the Lord so sovereign in what he's done in Gloria's life. My youngest child. And she was with a non-believer for 7 years. And he drank a lot. He was a very nice guy, though. We loved him. He was so nice, always so nice to us. Real friendly. So we really liked him a lot. But we still prayed that relationship would end. And, you know, it finally did. God just happened so fast, quick. There's this other guy God brought in the picture who was a believer because he met her on Facebook. Anyway, now they're married. She married a godly man. He's a really good guy. He really loves the Lord. Anyway, he has said some things on Facebook that made me think that he may be really open to receive some of these hidden revelations and things that we've come into. And so anyway, I sent the book to them, Sovereignty, God's, you know, the book, Sovereign God book, and Speak Grace, Not Condemnation. Sent that to them also. But I feel inside of me like I really believe they're going to really, really receive. He's been disheartened with his church, and the thing he says, a lot of things are coming out that he doesn't think are truth. And he's probably right. And they're looking for something else. And I told Gloria, well, maybe just think about just staying home and praying together and reading the word together. And so I'm hoping yeah. that God will use the Sovereign God to bring them. And I'm believing that God's going to do that. So if you just agree with me that I believe that also. So I appreciate that. So I just thank you, Lord. Right now, I just know it that believe you, God, because I've already asked. And you said, whatsoever we ask, you will do it, Lord God. And I thank you, God, for opening their hearts to truth. I thank you, Lord, that for the man that Greg is, he's a quiet person. He was a very thoughtful person. I know he's going to think upon things, Lord. Just move his heart to think and examine the word, Lord, in truth, Lord God, and not just jump right away to conclusions or just bind the enemy from wanting to do that in his mind and glorious too, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you would open their eyes and their ears to receive and even be excited about what they're learning, Lord, and what they're seeing, Lord God. And I thank you that you can do this, Lord, and bring them into truth, Lord God. And they will even begin to understand about the man-child and the bride, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you, Lord, that that you're at work. You're at work, Lord. And I thank you for what you have done, Lord, for in Gloria's life and his and bringing them together the way you did, Lord God. And how well she's getting along with his four boys. And just a wonderful thing, Lord. I've never seen anything quite like this, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're not done yet. I praise you for it, Lord, the work you're going to do in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We believe it with Debbie, and we thank you, Father, that he will come into the truth. And start, Lord, we ask that you open up his spiritual eyes and his spiritual ears to hear. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. It's done. Lord, I thank you for bringing in all of our families and their spouses and their children. And I praise you for doing that, Lord. I believe it's Matthew 6 where he says, you do everything. You run after me with all your heart. I'll see everything else gets done. That's Michael's version. Anybody else? Yeah, sure.
Blessings, y'all. Just want to give praise and glory to the Lord. For I found out the other day that my eldest son has quit drinking. He was a pretty bad alcoholic, and just different things. And even my other son, there that he's watching what he's saying. He's trying not to curse himself because. That's not being Jezebel if I tell him about, you know, watching his tongue, is it? I mean, what is it that a woman cannot, you know, tell a man? I mean, that's what I was also wondering. What is the woman's, what the women are just going to help minister to the people that are out preaching the word. I mean, I mean, we have prayer. We can pray for them and stuff. But I was just wondering how much.
How much you can do?
Right.
You can do exactly what God tells you to do. We're going to go over it a little bit. I just want to put that out there. Missy, go ahead.
Well, I had an experience last night that came across a man. And he was trying to talk to me about the Lord. And a lot of it just went in one ear and out the other because it was just, you know, I was just here thinking about it. But he, you know, he was talking about the Lord healing him, you know, and using different things and stuff and natural means and prayer too. But anyway, and there were like 2-3 times where he spoke curses on himself. You know, basically that's the gist of it. You know, he said something about his one hand. And I said, no, you have a healthy hand and whatever. I forget what it was, you know, and there was something else that said, I said, no, you're blessed. You're, you know, whatever, you know, and I just kept speaking blessings on him, contrary to what he was saying, you know? So that's kind of my experience that I had recently about that. And even the other day, actually yesterday, when Merle and I went to go to the, the donut shop, we were backing out of the garage and start going up the driveway, and my rear camera kept showing on the screen, you know, and it should have turned off, you know. By the time Merle says it's malfunctioning, I said, no, it's not. It's in the name of Jesus, it's working fine, you know. And then right after that, then the screen came on, you know, and then, you know, it was working. It usually doesn't take that long for the screen to change, you know. And anyway, so yeah, I mean, I think it's a matter of your attitude and your respectful, you know, about how you do it too is probably important, you know.
Best thing to do in a situation like that, Sarah, is just to give your own experiences. Try to give it in your own experiences, give it a testimony. And that way you won't be teaching. Yeah. Do what?
But he came back in and he says, you know what, Mom, you're right. Cause he was saying he was, just a bad person and all that. He ain't worth nothing. And I told him, I said, no, you're worth a lot. You know, you're not a bad person and all that. And he came back to the door because he lives next to me. And he says, you know what? You're right. I'm a good person and I'm not a bad person. So, I mean, he's open, you know, and he has a friend that I think it's kind of witchcraft. I don't know. They're from Guatemala and I think his mom does like curses on people and stuff. And when he gets with this friend, he gets very antichrist and he's very disrespectful to me. So I've been praying that, you know, I've been praying for his friend, but I also have been praying that they separate. And I think they haven't been talking. So, I mean, the Lord's work it's a lot to try to stay on top of what all the devil is trying to do. But praise God, I'm seeing great, you know, results from it and stuff, because I don't want to be a Jezebel and try to teach them and stuff. So that's what I was just wondering about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just use it like a testimony. All right. Anyone else? I think Monroe wanted to see. Let me see here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share while I'm looking this up? Anybody got a hand up? All right. All right, Monroe, here it comes. She wanted to hear Charity Gale, Because of Jesus. Y'all want to hear that? All right, that's a good song. I like it myself.
What's going on?
Does Michael know he's muted?
Michael,
I think he's talking to somebody.
Nothing coming out here.
Huh.
I didn't, what happened is I had a hiccup. The thing blinked and took us off for just a half a second, but it came right back. Did y'all see that? And the recording started again. I didn't know it had shut the internet down too. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. What is going on? In the name of Jesus, we command this demon out of here. You get off my internet right now in Jesus' name. You ain't got no right being here. I command you to leave it. I demand you leave in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, was it still sharing the screen? You lost it all, huh? Okay.
You made a covenant with me, signed by the blood that still speaks. Now I'm forgiven, I'm called righteous, I'm made clean. There on the cross of Calvary, you gave it all to purchase me. You are the Savior and the God who set me free. Now my heart, this is my Redeemer. With my whole life, I will give you praise. All the glory to the one who's worthy. Because of Jesus.
Sorry to stop, but I've got a text here. This is Joe Nabrowski. He said, Michael, could you all pray for me here? I am enduring a pain in my stomach and it's pretty intense. It's keeping me from sleeping. Then he came back and he said, just a few minutes ago, he said, I have no idea what this is, but it's pretty intense right now. In the name of Jesus, I command that pain off of Joe. You go in Jesus' name. You don't have a right there, so you leave him right now in Jesus' name. And I command whatever it is to leave him right now in Jesus' name. You spirit of infirmity, leave him right now. And I thank you, Father, that all of his cells, all of his tissue, all of his organs are healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that Joe is going to get him a good night's sleep and be supernaturally supercharged when he wakes up in the morning. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Joe. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. I don't think he wants us to play that right now. So, what else we got on the agenda here tonight? Has anybody got anything about the end times? Anybody want to talk about the end times? Anything about the end times you got a question about? We'll see if somebody can't answer. He got the big book. Glory to God. All right. Go ahead, Miss. Okay. Oh, okay. You don't have anything? All right. Anybody else? Hey, somebody tell me something. When's the tribulation going to start? Two women have got the answers. Where are you being? Come on, Missy.
It's already started.
Do what, Sunil?
It's already started.
Sometime this year. That's the all specific I'm going to get.
What'd you say?
Sometime this year.
That's not close enough. Go ahead and believe it.
I think I heard Sunil say it's already started. I don't know if you caught that, but I was just going to say when the covenant is made with many, whenever that is.
Yeah, that's when it starts. That's when the covenant's been signed by many, and it's fixing to be signed. And you'll know it because the man child has been anointed. Yes, Benita.
I have an end time question. And I can't remember exactly where it is, but you'll know. When he talks about the New Jerusalem and he gives the dimensions of it, and I've never heard or understood what that is in the spirit. Like what I just see it in the physical. And I don't think that's how I'm supposed to be seeing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm going to see if anybody can answer that question. Y'all know what she's talking about when I give the dimensions of the New Jerusalem? Is that what you said? Hmm. Yeah. What is that in the spiritual as a type and shadow? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Yeah, Julie.
This is really a guess. I don't know. I'm guessing it's 100, wasn't it? 144 something squared. is in Revelation, right, Benita? I can't, I haven't looked at it for a while, but because that, well, it's the bride, you know, it's the bride, right? You know, New Jerusalem is the bride, it's Zion. So it's, you know, everyone who's, I believe, part of the whole, like the question is like, when does the tribulation start? It's like when the man child's been anointed and the bride has been chosen and goes up into the king's house. And, you know, the bride's coming down, as, you know, David teaches, it's a, you know, she's coming down now. It's like, you know, we're bringing heaven down. We're bringing heaven down as we pray God's will, and, you know, as it is in heaven, so be it here on earth. And it's spirit-filled holiness, sanctified Jerusalem. You know, that's how I see it, but I don't know. This has to do with, I think, I know the 144,000, you know, the man child, but I also believe it's 144 is just, you know, a sign of the first fruits as well. If I remember from the teachings, it has to do with the first fruits, which is, you know, not only the man child, but it's the bride as the whole, right? The man child is the head of the bride. That's how I can remember it, but I could be way off too.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Benita said Revelation 21:16. What does it say, Benita? Put it in there.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I'll read it to you. The city was laid out like a square. It was as long as it was wide. The angel measured the city with a rod. It was 1,400 miles long. It was as wide and high as it was long. He measured the wall of the city. It was 200 feet thick. The angel did the measuring as a man would. The wall was made out of paper, of jasper. The city was made out of pure gold, as pure as glass.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yep. What Judith says is partially right. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's been a long time since I've heard that one. But what about it, Andrew?
How about your treasure is where your heart is also, right in the first book in Matthew. Now, there's lots of gold and silver and precious stones there. I used to remember my daughter singing the gem song. We are gems and here to say, serve in the Lord in every way. And, you know, that these are items in the temple, yes, but it's a glorious temple. It's got a height, a width, a length, and a depth. You know, I just was waiting for someone else to comment on that number. Because, you know, you got a height, width, a length, and depth over there in Ephesians too. Concerning love. And it's never fails. Love never fails, right? And passeth knowledge, I believe it said there. In Ephesians chapter 3, that verse we all like to quote about, I don't know how it goes anymore. I should know, he has to get it in there somehow, you know, that that Christ dwell in your heart by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. And then he gives you the dimensions. You know, and it's kind of giving you the dimensions there too. That just would click. You know, I'm rendering a guess there about the treasure. Your heart is where your treasure is. And I wonder where God's heart is for that city and what he's trying to explain to us there. It needs It needs some meditation for me. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. I remember David talking about it. Go ahead, Barry or Merlin.
Yeah, this, as Vanita mentioned, it's Revelation 21:16, and it says, "And the city lieth four square, and the length thereof is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height thereof are equal." He's pretty busy, you know, measuring this thing. 12,000 furlongs. That doesn't mean much to us, you know, really. So one day I did the math. That's 1,500 miles. This is not a small place. This is not a little city. This place is big. 1,500 miles on each side. That's all.
How many people in that 1,500 mile square? Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Barry. By the way, Barry, how long is a furlong? I forgot.
660 feet.
Okay. 5,280 feet a mile. Yeah, I got that right off the top of my head. Glory to God. Anybody else? Anybody else on the New Jerusalem? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. What was that? $7.92 million. Well, my calculator don't go that high. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, isn't this place a habitation for someone?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, and we know that we're in a house and we're in a tabernacle, but you know, we were going to do a study, I think. Ben requested one. So I got a real interest in verse out of Revelation. I just want to read it.
Yeah.
It's, what was my reference, Ben, that I gave you earlier? There it is. 21 and 22. I'm just trying to collate something that's in this city anyway. And I saw no sanctuary therein. For the Lord God, the Almighty, is the sanctuary thereof, and the Lamb. So that's in this city, the New Jerusalem, right? That's what it says right above verse 9, the New Jerusalem. So if he's that sanctuary, and we're supposed to be in accordance to an agreement with this sanctuary, aren't we? According to 2 Corinthians 6:18, and he has something, or 16. Well, he has something really interesting to say there in that part where it says sanctuary, because it's like God's living with us. He's living in us. And that's kind of interesting on how these verses collate with this sanctuary, this New Jerusalem. I think it's 2 Corinthians 6:16. You know, that's where it's talking about not having an agreement with the idol and the sanctuary because the Lord God dwells in this place. You know, in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. You know, and it's kind of cool how that's a sanctuary there and what we're supposed to be in agreement with. And again, this is the sanctuary that's there, or the temple is God Almighty and the Lamb. And where is this Lamb supposed to be with us? You know, he's in us. And so there you have an interesting temple verse or a sanctuary verse and a living place, a house. We're God's house. You know, he only lets good stuff in his house. So, and he's like, if Jesus has to clean his room, what is he going to have to do? Okay. And he's not going to throw it all under the bed if there's any teenagers out there. Anyway, when he cleans his room, that is. So, and it's a sanctuary. So, I just throwing out some stuff that it's a real interesting verse in Revelation 21:22. Yeah. And I just got that right now for 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. I just want to go there and read that one for you, just to give you the reference that I'm trying to convey here. You know, this is where you're not supposed to be unequally yoked. But it says here, and what agreement have God's sanctuary with idols? For we are the living God's sanctuary. Even as God said that. And of course, I got the little square back brackets around the that. I think it's in most Bibles. I will dwell in them and walk and be their God. And they shall be my people. And like someone did reiterate here, we're supposed to be bringing heaven down, aren't we? So I guess I can leave it at that and just say glory to God. Because, you know, there is there's quite a bit to this sanctuary. It's just a wonderful place to live in. You know, do I know everything I'm supposed to know about it? No. But I'd sure like to know a lot more. It's God and the Lamb. Praise God. That's why it had to be so big, maybe. I don't know.
Amen. Yeah, Joe.
I'm going to say something. I could be way off, but I was thinking if you look at verse 9, he says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the wife of a lamb, and he carried me away to the spirit, to the mountain high, great and high. And show me the holy city. But the holy city, the whole thing is a bride, because it's the 12 tribes, the 12 gates, and it's everything is about the 12. It's the bride coming out of the 12 tribes. But he says then in, where is this now? Verse 17, he says, and he measured the wall thereof. In other words, the wall means separation. In other words, the whole thing is about the bride, but out of a bride comes 144, but 144 cubits, but the separation, that will be the man-child. I was just thinking it spiritual that way. I could be off, but I was like, that was what I was thinking about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Check on us, did you? Uh-oh, Andrew's got the big book, man. Both of you. Okay. All right. Is that the refreshed? Something I had on my mind and slipped it. I was going to ask y'all about. I got the mind of Christ here. All right, anybody else? It was something Andrew said, and I'm trying to think of what it was I had a question about. It'll come to me. All right, anybody else? Yeah. You know, I've known Sandy can do that. She'd have a dream and or a vision, and I can't remember that part, she'd say. And she said, and then she'd say, well, I just asked the Lord to rewind it for me. And she'd just, they'd get it right back to her. The Lord would rewind it for her. Anybody else got something they want to talk about? Kind of slow tonight. Lord, just place it in everybody's heart to be in the Word, studying the Word. Thinking the things that you want them to think. Me too. And Father God, I thank you for revelations and wisdom and discernment for everybody. I pray that for everybody here. Wisdom and discernment, Lord. You said we could ask for that. And to seek and to knock, and we need to open the door, and it will be found. Father God, give us some clarity on these end time days that we're coming into. I know that David has taught on it quite a bit. Probably the most extensive teaching on end times of anyone, as far as I'm concerned. That's biblically accurate. Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Father, for bringing it to our memories when we need it. We need it. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. When the man child is anointed, when the man child is anointed, and he leads the bride into the wilderness, into tribulation. Did you raise your hand, Ben? No? Okay. I'm watching like a hawk, man. Oh, they go into tribulation reminds me of a dream that I had many years ago. The dream was this, that I was at a fence and beyond the fence was desert, nothing but desert, which was tribulation. And out of the group that I was in, I was the only one that went into it. Gosh, that's been 25 years ago, I guess, or more. Well, here we are. Here we are. Anybody got a question on anything in the Word of God? Because we got to get something going here. Oh, well, that's good to know. Everybody knows everything there is to know about everything there is to know about the Bible. How old was Enoch when he died? That ought to be an easy one. Hi, Jill.
It was 365 years.
Yeah, you are.
Age.
So the question is, if Enoch went up to the Lord, was taken by the Lord, was he taken in the flesh? Judas says, yeah. Ben says, yeah. Andrew says, yeah. So that begs the question, and it's a trick question, so be careful. How can that be when no flesh can enter into the heaven? Go, Julie.
I believe that he was probably transformed in a twinkling of an eye kind of thing. Like, you know, just that's a type in a shadow because that's what happens. You know, that's what happens when at the end, when the Lord comes back and we shall all be changed. That's what I'm thinking, that, you know, it doesn't say that he died. So his body was, he was in his body when he left. The Lord came and took him. So, you know, how he was transformed is just, that's a spiritual thing, like, you know, powerful thing of the Holy Spirit that does it. God does it.
Okay.
His body didn't stay here. So he had to go up in a body, but somewhere between here and entering into the spiritual realm, he was changed into a spiritual body.
So his body was redeemed on the way up.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah. Redeemed, transformed.
Yeah, changed. Andrew.
So where did God put him?
What'd you say?
Where did God put
Enoch,
yeah. So, you know, because if he got resurrected with Elijah, where are these guys? Are they underneath the altar, like it says there? Or because how can they be there and not there at the same time? If he took them up alive, where'd he put them?
I don't guess so.
Should we expect to see them? That's a difficult question because I don't know what he did with them. I don't know where they are.
They said he took them.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad. I would like to be taken.
Well, I think Enoch is hanging out in heaven.
Yeah.
I believe he's kicked back in heaven somewhere.
But what is he? Is he like doing the housework up there?
Well, I don't know. I doubt it.
It's a big thing. Anyway.
Because God loved him, and Enoch was doing everything he could to stay with God. Somebody suggested that I read the book of Enoch. I ain't got no interest in the book of Enoch. I don't know if that's just a bunch of garbage or what. That somebody's, has anybody got any thoughts on the book of Enoch? That's part of that Apocrypha. And the reason they wanted me to read it is because it had the story of Enoch in there and all the wonderful things that he did, you know. Well, who wrote it? Yeah, I think it does too, sir. I heard somebody talking about that. Talking about the Nephilim and the fallen angels cohabitating with the human female. That ain't going to happen because David preaches on that. Yeah. And I believe he's right. Yeah, Benita.
So Enoch was taken before Christ came. And I thought everybody then was just in Abraham's bosom. But maybe that's because they were all released from prison when Christ released them. So, but was Enoch not a part of all that? Was he already with God?
Well, it says that the Lord took him.
Yeah. It looks like Andrew said, where'd he put him?
I suspect, I don't know. You have to read the book of Enoch, I guess. Go ahead, Judy.
I would think the people who were in paradise, or not paradise, were in Sheol, waiting, right? And Abraham's, they passed away. They were all had died in their physical bodies, but Enoch never died.
Mm-mm.
So I don't think, I think the Lord just took him and took him right into his presence, you know, whatever that means. We'll find out one day exactly what happened. I just don't think because he died that, you know, he wasn't in Sheol waiting, you know. He wasn't one of those in captivity there in Abraham's bosom. I think he went right into the presence of the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm just my thinking here. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. But then also in, if it's sanctification, but means separated from sin unto God. In other words, he had no sin. That's why he can get to be been with God. So he was without sin. So that's no problem with his, he was sitting apart. That was his, without sin. That's why he was getting up. This is my thinking. He's with the Lord. It doesn't matter. He's separated from sin. In other words, there's no sin.
Yeah. Well, that's what he had the same nature as Adam did before he fell, didn't he?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, Julie.
Raise my hand. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him. For he that hath witness borne to him that before his translation he had been well-pleasing unto God.
Amen. Yeah.
And the next verse says, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. Well, what's our reward, you know? It's salvation, and it's eternal life, and you know, whatever we can believe God for. You know, so Lord, help us all be well pleasing to you and walking in faith and to believe in that we're going to be like Enoch. We'll be translated. We won't see death. We'll be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord at the end.
Yeah.
And we'll know what it was like for Enoch just to be taken up, you know, in a sense. You know.
Whew. What does Enoch mean? Anybody got that right handy? That was Seth's boy, wasn't it? Yeah, Judy. You're muted.
I'm sorry, I thought I clicked it. In Smith's dictionary, it says Enoch means dedicated.
Ah.
And
rightfully so.
Yeah.
365 years and everybody else was living 800-900 years, you know.
365 too, like in, you know, our number, it's like, that's like 1 year in days. A day is as a year. A day is as a year.
And that is a cycle of death, resurrection, death, life, death, and resurrection. It also means life, a circle of life.
Yep. Okay. Lord, we thank you for these old stories, Enoch, Elijah, and the rest of them. Makes us wonder sometimes what's it take to be like them. And why did Enoch get taken up? And I wonder how he got taken up. That chariot come down and get him? Or did you just snatch him up? You know. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead, Andrew.
Maybe he guessed. What? You know, I think it's in Genesis 3:15, where the woman's supposed to bruise the head. Maybe he guessed at it. Maybe he, not guessed, but maybe he was informed about the Messiah. So he had to be taken. That God was going to send a man to free us, to give us new life, to bruise the head of Satan with the woman. I mean, people say that maybe Nimrod and Semiramis did this back in their day, and then they came up with Tammuz. So why wouldn't the good guy get it right? Enoch, you know? He told the Lord. And at a time, what the Lord was going to do. And I don't know. That's my guess anyway.
Okay. All right. This is, what is this, Thursday night? Next Tuesday night, I will drop back into Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26, I think. Does that sound right? Yeah, I think so. Oh, I got the memory of a steel trap. Lord of God. Lord, we just thank you for another great night. Just being with my brothers and sisters is a blessing, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers tonight. Thank you for John's complete healing of his fingers. Thank you, Lord, for bringing those here that you have already deemed to come here. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that the ones that are fixed to go to bed, that you would give them a good night's sleep. I thank you for healing Joe DeBrowsey, Lord, that he's sleeping right now because of it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to be God. Yes, and then he would be the father of faith. Okay. Well, good night, folks. We'll see you again next Tuesday. Lord willing.